This is part B of Jesus and the Father, number one. Let's continue on here in Romans, the seventh chapter. Now, once a person is converted, and they understand right from wrong, have the Spirit of God, and are trying to overcome human nature, there is still the downward pull of human nature. Yet we can overcome it. But you have to recognize the source of it. What we are dealing with is this. Human beings are inherently evil, though they can do good things. And that's the conundrum that people cannot figure out. They start out and say, well, all human beings are good. Well, the Bible shows that all have sinned. Why have they sinned? Well, it's because they're basically sinful. Okay, hold your place right here in Romans 7, and let's come back to Mark, the seventh chapter, and let's see what Jesus said that comes out from within human beings. The nature that we have without God's Spirit. Mark 7, let's pick it up here in verse 20. Mark 7 and verse 20. And you can see this even in little children, even in babies. They're sweet, they're lovely, they're innocent, they're all of that. But one man said, well, they're just like baby rattlesnakes. A baby rattlesnake, when it's first born, even if it bites, is not going to have much of a poisonous sting. It still has it. But when it's full grown and fully mature, look out. So, Mark 7, let's pick it up here in verse 20. And he said, that which springs forth from within a man, that defiles the man. These things come from inside. They're almost automatic. This is why child rearing is so difficult. And this is why when people become dedicated to evil, as you may see on some of these prisoner programs that they have, and they show more and more and more of them. I saw one the other day where a man was so evil he was sentenced to life plus 305 years. To make sure he would never get out. See? Now that sounds insane. You don't usually live that long. But that's so no judge can come along and say, let's let this man out. All right? For from within, out of the heart of men, go forth evil thoughts. What's the first problem? Sex problems. Adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. And what does it say of a child? Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Okay. All these evils go forth from within and defile the man. So we are inherently evil. All the good that we do, though we're evil, cannot be counted as really good because of the evil and the nature of death that we have. Okay. Question is, since it's inherited, what part does Satan have in it? He has a lot to do with it. Because the nature that we receive is a combination of good and evil, just like the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's why the age of accountability, unless it's a very serious, serious crime, is 20 in the Bible, 21 in the world. So that's why you have to teach children to know the right and wrong, good and evil, and that's why the book of Proverbs is perfect for them to learn. It's heavy on right and wrong, good and evil, do this, do that, do the other thing. And though it brings in God, it's not heavy on God toward them. All right, the question becomes then, what is Satan's part? Because he does have a part. So hold your place here, and let's go forward to Ephesians, the second chapter. Satan is there. Plus, the parents, if they're not converted, do not have a good understanding of right and wrong. All you have to do to understand that, is just look at how many people are considered good in whatever religion they are in when they do what that religion says to do. All right, Ephesians 2, and let's begin here in verse 1. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. Now, Satan has a part in it, which then magnifies the evil and causes people to become more evil than they would if Satan were not around. Verse 1, Ephesians 2. Now you were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you walked in times past, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now working within the children of disobedience. So there comes a time when people are so evil, they give themselves over to evil. Satan is right there to magnify it and expand it. And Satan is also called the god of this world. And Satan likes to give you things that sound good, that look good. When you examine them, they are good. Look at all of the good that he has surrounded Christmas with. Is it good to give thanks to your children? Yes. Is it good to have the family together? Yes. Where does the evil come from? Well, let's have a good time. Well, you can have a good time and still go against God, can't you? Yes. Okay. Then gradually cut you off from God. So many enticing things. But what is the goal? Take you away from God. So that's why Satan loves do-gooders. He loves do-gooders. Because sooner or later, they're going to get trapped into doing evil, though they intend to do good, and that's exactly what Satan likes to do. So combined with it, you see, combined with our own human nature that inherently is evil and good, Satan is there to lead people astray. Okay? And remember what we talked about, how you reject part of the Word of God, you become blinded. Who is right there to lead people along in further blindness? Satan is, because it talks about he's the god of this world who has blinded the eyes of those that don't believe. So it works that way. Just like with Adam and Eve. When they gave themselves over to it, bam, God had to judge. So Satan does have a part with it, you see. And it is a spiritual influence that is now working within the children of disobedience, among whom also we all once had our conduct in the lust of our flesh. That's there in every human being, is it not? Yes. Doing the things willed by the flesh and by the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as the rest of the world. Now let's see how that plays with even converted people. And what does that have to do with taking away the sin of the world? And how was Christ able to do that? How was he able to become the perfect sacrifice? And how was he able to live a life without sin since he took on human nature and was tempted of Satan? All right, let's come back to Romans, the 7th chapter here again. All right, Romans 7. Verse 14, let's pick it up here, because this tells us how human nature operates. Now, you can give yourself to sin, even carnally, and you can give yourself to doing good so you have less sin in your life. So it's not a helpless situation even in the world, but it's not unto salvation in the world. See, you have to be called and have the Father revealed to you before you can begin to understand about salvation. So verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual, operates automatically, but I'm carnal, that is, of himself. See, because of and by ourselves, though we can do good, no good resides within us that is good as God is good. We can do good. We can have right intentions. Here, just to prove the point, let's come back here to Matthew 6. Let's see what Jesus told the disciples. Edit out Matthew 6. Let's go back to Matthew 7. Let's pick it up here in verse 9. Now here's the well-intentioned, probably quite disciplined individual who knows right and wrong, good and evil, but is not converted. Notice, verse 9, or what man is there of you who, if his son shall ask for bread, will give him a stone? And if he shall ask for a fish, will give him a serpent? Now notice what Jesus said to his own disciples. Verse 11, therefore, if you, being evil, see, because the evil far outweighs the good, though you know how to do good things. He just said, is it not a good thing to give him bread? Is it not a good thing to give him fish? Yes. Would it be evil to give him a stone? Would it be evil to give him a serpent? Yes. So this shows that those who know right and wrong, good and evil in the world, and you really have to know a substantial amount of the Word of God to really have a full repertoire of that. But he says, therefore, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? All right. Let's see how he magnified the law and the prophets. Verse 12. Therefore, everything that you would have men do to you, and you want men to do good things to you, don't you? Yes. So also do to them. For this is the law and the prophets. So now that Protestantism has degenerated to the point of almost, how shall we say, 90% lawlessness now, doing away with the laws of God? What do we have? A society that does evil to one another. Good is hard to find. All right, back to Romans, the 7th chapter, see. So when we're talking about this, there are many other things to add into it. But when someone says, you are evil by nature, people will say, well, I'm good. Well, why are you good? Did someone teach you how to be good? Yes, my mom and dad. Do you sin? Well, of course I sin. Then you're still evil, aren't you? Well, not much. But you still have it, right? Okay. So Paul is talking about, you see, the nature of God is this: no evil. He wants us to become like him. So we come from being inherently evil, knowing how to do good, to becoming perfected, which is another whole process. But here's the struggle. Because when we repent and are baptized, we don't immediately have the lust and all evil removed from us, you know, just like coming down and as it were, filtering our brain from all evil. Just to give you an example, how long have you not kept Christmas? Probably some of you as much as 50 years, right? Yes. Do you still know all the Christmas carols? Yes. Another good appealing thing to lead you to evil, right? Yes. All right. So it's still there. Evil is still there. Yeah. Okay. The question is, if it's inherited, how can you control it? You have carnally a certain amount of control. Spiritually, you have much more control when you receive the Spirit of God. Okay. So what I'm trying to show is this, as we'll get into it, that Jesus had to take what is called here the law of sin and death as part of his human nature. Otherwise, he wouldn't have human nature, would he? So let's go forward and see that. But Paul is explaining the fight toward real righteousness which comes from God and the pulls of the flesh which we still have. Now, people in the world don't have that. They don't have that fight. They go along, do anything they want to until God starts working with them. And then all of a sudden, man, hey, I've just given myself over to evil. I got to stop it. So then they begin changing. Even people in the world can change to a certain degree. See, because when Cain brought the wrong offering to the altar of God, God said, sin lies at the door, but you shall rule over it. How could he rule over it? By doing what God said. Likewise, human nature. Those, as Paul said, of the Gentiles who do the works of the law have it written in their heart. God recognizes that as good. But that doesn't mean they are saved. That doesn't mean they're on their way to being saved. There are good people in the world who are inherently evil. And that's not a contradiction. That's the conundrum of human nature that the world doesn't understand. Yeah. Okay, the comment was made, why don't we just include those sermons right on the CD? We'll do that. I mentioned the ones about what would the world be like if Adam and Eve had not sinned, and what would the world be like if Adam hadn't sinned. We'll put both of those here. They probably overlap a little, but that's okay. But here is the struggle to overcome. Now, Paul was converted for well over 20 years when he wrote this. So let me ask you a question. Are you converted? Answer, yes. You've been baptized, received the Holy Spirit. Do you still have to overcome sin within? Yes. Okay. Because that's not going to be fully eliminated until when? Death and the resurrection. All right? Now, if you're not converted and don't have God's Spirit in you, but with you, are you able to govern your life better than before that point? Yes. Because God's Spirit is with you. So there are many in that category with God's Spirit with them. So what they have to do is take the last step and be baptized and have God's Spirit within them. And we'll see that as we go along in this little series that we're doing here. Okay. Difference between the Spirit with you and within you is that you sense that God is there and helping you and calling you, giving you understanding, but it's not within you in the covenant sense of the begettal from the Father and the Spirit of Christ. Yes. Okay. All right. Now, Romans 7 again. Let's see if we can make some progress here. For we know that the law is spiritual. Yes, the law is perfect. But I am carnal, that is, fleshly, having been sold as a slave under sin. See, because long as you have sin within, you are not totally righteous. Can you accept that as a true statement? Yes. All right. Now, here's the problem. Here's the struggle. Because what I'm working out myself, that is, by my own self, my own life without God, don't have any purpose, don't have any understanding, don't know anything. I do not know. For what I do not desire to do, this I do. Moreover, what I hate, this is what I do. You ever done something really bad? Say, oh, I hate myself. Yes. Well, hate the sin. That's the struggle. Verse 16. But if I am doing what I do not desire to do, I agree with the law that it is good. The law is good. It tells you what is right and wrong. It tells you what is good and evil. It tells you what is sin and righteousness. See? The law is good. So what's the problem going on here? You're trying to do good, but you sin. All right? He explains it. Verse 17. So then, I am no longer working it out myself. In other words, though I have desired to do good, I have given in to sin. Rather, it is sin that is dwelling within me. That's why you need the Spirit of God within you to overcome that human nature. Yes. This is the inherited sin. Because I fully understand that there is not dwelling in me, that is, within my fleshly being, any good. Good in the sense of godly good. It's good in the sense of taking care of your children. When they ask for some food, you don't give them a serpent, you don't give them a stone, etc. But this is not spiritual good. For the desire to do good is present within me. People are always well-intended. Well, I never intended that. I never thought that things would go this way. I was only trying to do good. Or someone else made me do it, you know. See? But how to work out that which is good, I do not find. And that is the whole summary of human nature. They can never find how to do good without evil. Though they intend good, though they've been taught some good things. Okay? So here's what happens. For the good that I desire to do, I'm not doing. But the evil that I do not desire to do, this I'm doing. So what's the problem? Verse 20. But if I do what I do not desire to do, I am no longer working it out myself, but sin that is dwelling within me. You've got this pull of sin because of your past, because of the law of sin, as we will see, and death. Because as long as you still have human nature, every one of us are completely incapable of doing absolute pure righteousness in the sense that God is righteous. There's a difference between the goodness of human beings and the righteousness of God. So he says, the sin dwelling within me. Consequently, I find this law in my members, that when I desire to do good, evil is present with me. Have you ever done something really good, and then some horrible evil thought flits through your mind? Yes, I have, you have. Verse 22. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. Yes, the law of God is good. That's wonderful. I like it. I love it. I want to keep it. But I see another law warring within my members, or within my members, rather, warring against the law of my mind and leading me captive to the law of sin that is within my own members. Inherited. Stamped. They also know there's such a thing as called a death gene, right? You die. Bang. How long you live depends on many things. How you take care of yourself, how you keep yourself away from danger, what you eat, what you think, what you do. Also, how long you live depends on your behavior toward your parents, correct? And also, it has to do with the inheritance that you receive from your parents, right? Yes. Those who have parents and relatives that live into their 90s generally live into their 90s unless something comes along and they die sooner. All right. So evil is present within me. Delight in the law of God, according to the inward man, but I see another law within my own members warring against the law of my mind. And where is the Spirit of God? In your mind. Leading me captive to the law of sin that is within my members. So here you're stuck. Here is the pull. So Paul says, oh, what a wretched man I am. Who shall save me from the body of this death? Here's the answer. I thank God for his salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of this, on the one hand, I serve the law of God with my mind, but on the other hand, with the flesh I serve the law of sin, that is, when he sins. It's because of the fleshly sin within. Now, chapter 8. How is God going to solve this, and what nature did Jesus take when he became flesh? Now, the Catholics say Mary was conceived immaculate conception, so she would not have the stain of original sin. Therefore, Jesus could not have any, how should we say, human nature within him. Well, if that's the case, then we, as we'll see a little further, how could he be tempted in every way like we are? All right, we'll answer that as we go. Okay, chapter 8 and verse 1. Now here's what's important to understand. God knows we have this human nature that we're fighting. God knows that we are not perfect. That's why in the model prayer, what is one of the very first things we ask? Forgive us as our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Correct? Yes. So that through the grace of God daily, you can have all of those covered and taken away. All right? Notice, consequently, there is no condemnation, because of this battle, to those who are in Christ Jesus, who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You're led by the Spirit of God. Right. Comment was made that we glorify God, hallow his name, you know, and then forgive us our sins. That clears the way. That's the operation of grace, see. That's what it is. Yes, and then the prayer continues on, deliver us from the evil one. See. All right, let's go on here. So you have the Spirit of God, but you're still in the flesh. So you have human nature that you're fighting that is like a split personality. The sin is pulling. Okay? Now, verse 2 and 3 and 4 become the key as to the relationship between Jesus and the Father. And how he could take human nature, which he had to do, and we'll see the process by which he did not sin. All right. Verse 2, Romans 8. Because the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has delivered me from the law of sin and death. If you do not have the Spirit of life from Jesus Christ within you, you have no deliverance from the law of sin and death. That's what happened when Adam and Eve sinned. There was put into their members the law of sin and death. Now, we get to deliverance, as Paul said here, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's continue on. Verse 3. For what was impossible for the law to do, in that it was weak through the flesh. In other words, you read the law of God, you see that it is good, you desire to do it. A lot of people in the world, hey, 92% believe in God, right? Yes. A lot of those you believe that you should keep the commandments of God. Well, except the first and second and third and fourth one. But we still believe in God, see? Well, they don't have the Spirit of God to help them. So that's the operation of the law of sin and death working within them to say, well, no, we can get along without those, and then they have spiritual blinding, don't they? Yes, indeed. The law cannot change your human nature of and by itself. The law says you shall not bear false witness. Has that stopped lying? Did the law all of a sudden come up and say, hey, I'm going to keep you from lying? No. The law says you shall do no murder. Does that keep people from murdering? No. The law only defines what is right and what is wrong from God's perspective. The law has no power to make you do anything. Your choice and the Spirit of God is needed for you to do what is right. Yeah, good comment. Comment was made with this recent escapade with Tiger Woods. Interview one of the women that was deeply involved in all of this and helped even arrange wild sex parties clear across in different cities in America for him. We asked, do you see anything wrong with this? No, I don't see anything wrong with this. And then she pronounced herself to be a Christian. Well, see, that's the way it is in the world. See? That's because of the lawlessness of fundamental Protestantism. It's the cause of that. See? So human nature justifies itself. You know, the proverb says, every way of a man is right, and that means woman, because the word woman ends in man. So if you're a feminist, you know, how are you going to get rid of that? Hmm? M-A-N at the end of woe? See? I remember that when going to the airport, you know, do you go the right place? You know, the one that says, whoa, man, don't go in. All right, let's go on here. The law can't make you do anything because it's weak through the flesh. So how is God going to correct it and save mankind? And what did Christ have to do. This is all necessary before we can understand the relationship that Jesus and the Father had as revealed in the book of John. All right. Middle of verse 3. God, having sent his own Son into likeness. Now, likeness in the Greek comes from homoiomati, which means the exact sameness. In the likeness or the exact sameness of sinful flesh. He did not have flesh without the law of sin within him. Why is that, or why was that, necessary? Because he was the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. And the only way that it could be done was for him to take on the likeness of sinful flesh and never sin. And what we'll find out is, how did Jesus have the kind of relationship that made it possible for him to carry the likeness of sinful flesh, the law of sin within him, yet not sin? All right, let's continue on. In the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Isn't it interesting that it's singular? For sin, condemn sin in the flesh. Just like back here in Romans 5 and verse 12, therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, singular sin, and by means of sin came death. In this way, death passed into all mankind, and it is for this reason that all have sinned. All right. Now, back here in Romans 8, and we'll finish here. Why did he do this? Last part of verse 3. Condemned sin in the flesh. His flesh. So that's how great God is. All right. It's a perfect place to end, so we will end here. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.